years.
How it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Holiday on the other side, steps back. He uncorks another three, and he sticks it again. How about now 11 points in the fourth quarter for Mr. Fourth Quarter, Drew Holiday, who is continuing to deliver. We are even again.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Giannis goes downhill. He drives to the rack. Now feeds it out to Middleton. Middleton catch and shoot. Three for the lead. Yes, sir. Cash money Middleton from the top of the arc delivers with 2:02 to play.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise.
Justin Garcia.
Yeah.
7-1 now in March. I promised you 10 or more wins. They are 3 wins away from doing that, and they are very clearly starting to separate themselves along with the Miami Heat, and I think along with the 76ers as well, that it's very similar in that sense to where we were a season ago when we entered the stretch knowing there's 3 teams that have really started to distance themselves here: the Bucks, the Nets, and the Sixers. The Celtics have been great. It still feels as though those tiers we mentioned on the network post-game show, you got tiers of a couple of teams, 3 to 4 teams here, 3 separate ones that we're seeing in the Eastern Conference. The Heat, the Bucks, and the Sixers. That is your top tier. The play-in tournament teams towards the bottom, that is certainly another tier, but there is a lot to keep an eye on in the standings over the course of the next couple of weeks. We spent a lot of time talking about who finishes second and what is potentially waiting for you in the Brooklyn Nets, but I did see somebody pose a rather interesting theory or question on the flip side of that. I'll get into that in just a moment here, but 7-1 in the month of March. The offense is absolutely clicking. You were able to play different ways in Utah. You saw it, you know, for stretches again tonight, and man, it feels good to have Brook Lopez back, to have George Hill back, and to see Wesley Matthews start to hit some threes as well. So the Bucks beat the Kings for the 12th straight time, 6th straight time in Sacramento. And if we can take a step back for a moment, when you watch the conclusion to this game, you can certainly feel for Kings fans, because we have experience, we being Bucks fans that have been fans longer than 2016, you've experienced games like this quite a bit, where the Bucks were playing the role of the Kings, where you go up against a team that is clearly better, has more talent, you hang tough, you go on a couple of spurts, but ultimately down the stretch, the other team has the best player, and they come up with the biggest plays. That's what happened with the Bucks and the Kings tonight. It looked like the Bucks were going to put them away in the third quarter, and the third quarter tonight was not the problem quarter for the Bucks. It was the fourth quarter, but again, down the stretch, Drew Holiday, Giannis, Chris Middleton just made all the plays, and specifically Drew Holiday. We're going to talk a lot about Giannis tonight. 36 points, the 30-point streak that he's been on. Chris Middleton with 7 threes. He brought the offense as well. 68 points from that duo. But as Dave mentioned a couple of times during the broadcast, we got to pay attention and point out everything that Drew Holiday has done, not only tonight, but really this season, in the fourth quarter and in those clutch moments. 11 points tonight for Drew Holiday in that fourth quarter. He finished the game with 21 points on 8 of 16 shooting. All 3 of his threes came in the fourth, where he was 3 of 3. He was 4 of 6 in that quarter and scored 11 of his 21 points there. Mr. Clutch, Drew Holiday, as the Bucks win it again. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line for all the Night Owls here as we continue to break this one down and preview what suddenly is a very, very intriguing matchup on Saturday between the Bucks and the Timberwolves. Who would have thought we'd be talking about a March matchup between the Bucks and the T-Wolves, as here's the two hottest teams in the league going at it. So we'll preview that one. What I mentioned as well about, hey, here's how the Bucks, the Sixers, the Heat, whoever finishes second, may potentially be viewing that play-in tournament. But there is a flip side to that as well that someone pointed out. So I'll bring that up after this. 855-616-1620. The Bucks win again, and they are three wins away from what I told you would happen. 10 or more wins in the month of March. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Come.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Middleton with a head fake. Passes off to Portis. They play catch back and forth. Back in the hands of Middleton. Five to shoot. He's got to go to work. He's on the left wing. Fires up a contested three, and he splashes it through with Sabonis right in his grills.
Seven threes tonight from Chris Middleton. 32 points. Bucks offense, again, this offense even better than it was a season ago when it was the best offense in team history. The defense, we're going to give him a grace period here to get George and to get Brooke back on the floor and continue to make some growth there. But offensively, the Bucks have just been a juggernaut in March, in February, all season long, but especially this month, a 121.7 net rating, fourth best in the NBA. The best, by the way, belongs to the team they're going to face on Saturday, the Minnesota Timberwolves, just under a 123 offensive rating since March 1st. And the Timberwolves, the Mavs, and the Bucks, the best teams in basketball in this month. 8-1 for the T-Wolves, the Bucks and Mavs, both 7-1. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text line to join the program tonight. Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Let's hop on the phone lines here. Head out to Milwaukee and catch up with Johnny. You're up next. You're up first on Bucks Talk.
Hey, Justin. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Let's get to it. First of all, I love how the Bucks are playing right now. Everything seems to come together. And what I want to talk to you about is, I know you're an NBA expert. I think the Bucks have the deepest rotation in the league right now. They got 11 guys. I mean, you got your starters, Giannis, Middleton, Holiday, Allen, Portis. You got Lopez, Matthews, Carter, Hill, Ibaka, and Cunnington, hopefully soon, coming off the bench. Who's deeper than us? What do you think? I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Yeah, we talked about this the other night. They're certainly, assuming everybody gets healthy, they are. They're certainly the deepest they have been under Coach Budenholzer. I mean, just look back to last year. We're not going to spend too much time on it because I know we've already had this discussion, but they were basically six deep last year, especially once Dante got hurt. That, yes, you had other guys play, but Bobby and Brooke were somewhat interchangeable depending on the matchup. And for the most part, you saw, I guess, Brooke and Bobby were attached at the hip, and Pat Connaughton was the other guy that made them interchangeable. Pat was your sixth guy. And we saw them close games out playing smaller. Where, think about all those key situations Pat Connaughton was a part of against the Hawks, against the Nets, in the finals. He was one of your closers because Giannis played the five. We expect a lot of that to happen again in the playoffs this year, but again, six guys pretty much. Elijah Bryant got some run. Jeff Teague got some run. Dante got some time early, and then the injury occurred three games into the playoffs. Bryn Forbes was playable against the Heat. And how soon we forget outscored Jimmy Butler in that series. Bryn Forbes was tougher to play in the final three rounds of the playoffs for defensive purposes. Grayson Allen can play. It's not the same issue that you ran into with Bryn Forbes last year. So you don't have that issue. You have a better shooter too, is at least as good. He has a little more size. He gives you a little more defensively, but just, I would say, keep an eye on how we're seeing the minutes doled out here in these recent games. Grayson Allen hasn't been the closer. Grayson Allen tonight, 23 minutes. Wesley Matthews played 20. You're starting to see a lot of these games where Wesley Matthews is a guy that's closing or playing in those clutch situations and playing equal minutes to Grayson Allen. So we're starting to already get some hints of the rotation for the postseason. And Bud talked about it a little bit before the game today as well, that this is tough for a coach because you think back to February, January, when everything was really starting to hit and culminate, you had to look around and think, who can we play tonight? Sandro Mamukelashvili is going to play 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Jordan Wara. Jordan Wara is another guy. Did not play tonight. Javon Carter played 13 minutes tonight, and Javon Carter closed the game in Utah. But Javon Carter's a guy, as good as he has been for this team and what he's brought defensively and how much we all love that game that he brings to this team. Javon Carter's another guy. It's going to be tough to get minutes in the postseason. So deepest in the league, they're in the conversation. The Phoenix Suns are an incredibly deep team. The Heat are a pretty deep team as well. And I think the difference there is, you know, with the Bucks, let's just look at what we anticipate the rotations and the staggerings to be here. In the backcourt, George Hill, Drew Holiday, Grayson Allen, Wesley Matthews. All of those guys, no one that gives you worries in the 82 versus 16. Grayson Allen and Wesley Matthews, we mentioned Grayson Allen, isn't a guy that's unplayable in the postseason. He's played in the playoffs before with the Grizzlies, with the Jazz. Wesley Matthews, we've seen what he brings. And the fact that all season long, since his arrival, he has been one of the guys that Bud has leaned on the most in those spots to close games out. Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton, we know they're both going to play a ton of minutes. And they both can play 2 through 4. Giannis and Bobby Portis. Giannis, we know, is going to play a ton of minutes. Bobby Portis, depending on the matchup, could play a lot of minutes. And then you have Brooke Lopez and Serge Ibaka. You have the depth that you didn't have behind Brooke Lopez last year, where it was basically, Giannis, you have to play center. Bobby Portis was basically Serge Ibaka last year. Now, last year, the biggest difference was P.J. Tucker allowed you to play Giannis at the five a lot more freely. That's gone, but you still do have a guy like Pat, a guy like Bobby, a guy like Serge that we've seen play with Giannis as well. So, look, we know once you get to the playoffs, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis, Pat Connaughton, those guys are going to play a ton of minutes. We saw that last year. You're still looking for those fifth and sixth guys that are going to play at the high 20s. Or even 30 or more minutes. But, you know, as we get 7 through 10, if you do go 10 deep, that is even a stretch. But as you get 7 and 8 and 9, you're deeper than you were a season ago. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talking text line. And again, we didn't mention Jordan Wara or Javon Carter. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talking text line. Deepest they've been under Coach Budenholzer with playoff-ready depth. Are they the deepest team in basketball? It's certainly debatable. Again, I still like what Miami brings, and especially if they, I'm not saying I expect it, but if they can get consistency from Victor Oladipo, you got scoring from Oladipo and Tyler Hero coming off the bench. Their starters are basically what we described with the Bucks last year. The P.J. Tucker allows them to do those things with Bam Adebayo. That's a pretty deep team. The Brooklyn Nets have become a lot deeper with that James Harden trade. The Suns are a pretty deep team. The Warriors, if they're healthy, are a pretty deep team. So this final race to the postseason, the conclusion here, about a month left now, 3.5 weeks left in this season. It is going to be interesting to see how these tiers start to sort out. But those tiers, I'll explain what I mean, and also it ties into what I brought up at the start of the show. We're all concerned about who could be sitting there at 7, but is there an opposite way to view this? I'll explain what I mean next on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Hoists up the three, and he hits it with a foul. Wesley Matthews with a chance at the four-point play.
An underrated part to the game here. Again, we're Giannis and Chris are going to get a lot of the attention for what they did offensively. Drew Holiday for what he did in the fourth with 11 points and the steals and everything else. But Wesley Matthews finding the three-point stroke at least for tonight. Another big part here in this victory for the Bucks. 36 points from Giannis. We should get this out of the way, too. 36 points tonight means he needs 135 points now to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in franchise history. And this has gotten to the point where it has escalated very quickly. A couple of weeks ago, we were saying, no, first of all, about a month ago, I don't think anybody was bringing this up. It wasn't on the radar of, hey, Giannis could do this. Going into February, you knew coming into the season, hey, he's close, and I think we all assumed next year is when he will pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in team history. And February, I think it kind of snuck up on all of us of what he started to do. And then right around the All-Star break is when you started to do the math and say, wait a minute, there are 22 games left, and he needs this many. Well, he's averaging almost 30 points a game. He might do this. And then the last couple of weeks, we've brought it up on every show. He needs this many points. He needs 200 points. He needs 170 points. And then you start to do the math, and you start to see one by one the games starting to tick off here, and the points would come off in larger chunks than the game. So now it's down to 135 points that he needs to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in Bucks franchise history. The Bucks have 12 games left. Let's just say he plays in all 12 games. 135 points would mean if he wants to pace himself, he only needs to score 11 points a game in those final 12 games. But at 135, and you look at this streak that he is on, five straight games having scored 30 or more points, the longest streak of his career is six, which he did in early November back in 2019. This is the second time in his career that he has had five games or more, scoring 30 or more consecutively. So Saturday in Minnesota, you go up against Karl-Anthony Towns, you go up against a rather hot team in offense in the Timberwolves, and Giannis can match his career high for 30-point games scored consecutively. If he does that, that means he's at least 105 games away from passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You basically have gotten to the point where you pencil him in for 27 to 30 points a game. It's going to happen in the next four or five games, is the sense that you're starting to get five games realistically at 135. He would need to average 27 points a game there. You look at what is on the horizon for this team, and I think the big thing that everybody's starting to circle in on is, man, it would be great if he can get this done at home. It looked like there was a chance up until this streak where now 39, 43, 31, 30, 36. Those are the last five games for Giannis. Before that, 26, 28, 34, 50. That's really when it started, was right before the All-Star break when we started to mention this of, hey, he's getting close, but, you know, what he's done, you can't even pick out any specific portion of the calendar because he's consistently been doing this all season long. But when you really started to recognize this might happen this year was right around early February, where he had a 40-point game. It was 44 that he scored against the Lakers. Then he had the 50-point game against the Pacers. Then he was basically consistently in the 30s, and now he's on this five-game streak of 30 points or more. Six of his last seven, he has scored 30 or more points. 27 is what he would need to average over the next five games to break that franchise record by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So Saturday afternoon in Minnesota against the Timberwolves. Then you're home for two games against the Bulls and against the Wizards. The Bulls are really struggling right now. The Wizards are done. Their loss tonight basically eliminates them from the play-in tournament. That's a team with nothing to play for other than draft picks. You absolutely have to win that game. But that's another team that's not going to put up a lot of resistance defensively on Giannis. The fifth game would be on the road in Philadelphia against the 76ers. Now, as much as we want, as badly as we want Giannis to become the franchise's all-time leading scorer here in Milwaukee, if it's got to be on the road, It's got to be in Philadelphia for everything there is between the Bucks and the Sixers, between Giannis and the Sixers, Giannis and Joel Embiid. If he can't get it done in Milwaukee, I think we all want to see it done in Philadelphia, especially in the midst of an MVP discussion with Giannis and Jokic and Embiid. It's very likely to happen that night, March 29th, in Philly against the Sixers. But the reality is, if it doesn't happen there, it's happening 2 days later in Brooklyn against the Nets. The only way Giannis gets this done at home, what we've seen this season, the only way he's getting this done at home is if he misses one of those games. And, you know, Bud had talked about this the other day. We're to the point in the season where guys got to play. We got to get into that playoff conditioning. We got to get guys on the floor, and we got to work out some of these things. So the days of rest and, you know, load management, how long has it been since we said that? But those days are behind. The only back-to-back the Bucks have left this season is towards the very, very end of the season. April 7th and 8th. Second to last games of the season. So that's it. That's the only back-to-back they have. Not a whole lot where you looked at two back-to-backs, I beg your pardon. That and then April 1st, March 31st and April 1st. So all the areas you would look to and say, well, if you're going to rest them, it would be here. Those are well after these fifth and sixth games that we're circling here to say, yeah, it's likely to be here. So it just feels like March 29th is when we're going to see Giannis break this record and become the franchise's all-time leading scorer. And what would that mean to do it in Philly against the Sixers, against Joel Embiid? The race that he and Joel Embiid are on right now as well. Embiid, earlier tonight, scores 35. Giannis says, okay, I'll put up 36. Joel Embiid still leads the NBA in scoring. 29.9 points per game he is averaging. He has played in 56 games. The Sixers are 38-18 in those games that Joel Embiid has played in. Giannis has played in 59 games now. The Bucks are 39-20 in the games that he's played in, and he's averaging 29.8 points per game. So the Sixers have won 68% of the games that Joel Embiid has played in. The Bucks have won 66% of the games that Giannis has played in. But statistically, it is basically even across the board with the slight edge to Giannis. 1/10 of a point behind Joel Embiid. 1/10 of a rebound ahead of Joel Embiid. He's at 1.5 assists more than Joel Embiid. More steals, even on the blocks. He's shooting at a higher percentage from the field. Even three-point percentage, he's up to 30%. 36% for Embiid, 30% for Giannis. Free throw percentage, 82% for Embiid, but Giannis, some struggles recently, dropping them to 72%. It's not the laughable difference it's been in the past. And oh, by the way, I mean, Giannis 72%, we don't have those discussions with LeBron James, who's 76% at the free throw line. So this race, statistically, it's almost a dead heat there where you look at the record, you look at what the teams have done when they're on the floor. But that matchup between Giannis and Embiid, we think, at the end of the month, could determine it. And I say we think because I think we talked about this the other night. I am not convinced the 76ers are going to be going all out here and playing to win games down the stretch, depending on the standings. I think right now, the way things are seated is exactly how the 76ers want it. They would be third. They would play the Cavaliers in the first round. If you are second, you are very likely playing the Brooklyn Nets. Right now, the play-in tournament matchup would be Nets versus Raptors. Winner is the seventh seed. The Nets are going to win that game. The Raptors may catch the Cavs. Either way, the Nets are going to beat the Cavs in a play-in tournament. And if you're the Sixers, everything we've seen from them, I don't think Philadelphia wants any part of the two seed, knowing full well you may have to face Ben Simmons if he's back, but you're going to have to face Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in at least half of those games, and a motivated Kyrie and Kevin Durant against their old teammate James Harden. Philadelphia, Joel Embiid, James Harden, Doc Rivers want zero part of that. So that matchup, as much as we point to, it may not be as star-studded as we thought. But to Giannis, again, 135 is all that stands between him and the record for most points scored in franchise history. But I mentioned that play-in tournament. What someone else posed to me just the other day. I'll run this by you next. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Go. Drew Holiday calmly buries the three from straight on when the Bucks were starting to show a little bit of signs of weakness. Drew says, not so fast.
Drew Holiday, as clutch as anyone for the Bucks tonight, 11 of his 21 coming in the fourth quarter and some big defensive plays as well. But the Bucks now 7-1 in March, which puts them at 44-26 on the season. I believe this matches where they were 70 games into the season last year. And remember, they only played 72 games last season, but they were just a game off of the pace that they put up last year coming into play tonight. And with this victory tonight, 70 games in last year, the Bucks were 45-25. So they are one game off of that pace from a season ago. I want to mention something that somebody pointed out just the other day. So my weekly hit on the Locked On Bucks podcast just the other day, and we discussed what we just talked about a little bit there in the standings and who wants to. As it was posed, you know, we spent quite a bit of time of saying, yeah, you want to keep this going and you want to keep playing well. It's how the Bucks approached the close of the season last year, where remember, they didn't duck anyone. They knew, hey, if we win, that means we likely get Miami in the first round. We want to do that. It may be a little different this year when you got somebody like Kevin Durant in the Nets looming as the potential seventh seed. But as it was pointed out here, somebody followed up on Twitter. One aspect wasn't discussed here. The possibility that 7-8 in the East tank their play-in match to avoid the Bucks in round one. The Bucks may not want the Nets in round one, but I can't imagine the Nets would want the Bucks either. That, I suppose, is true, but if whoever it is, the Nets, the Cavs, the Raptors, sure, you don't want the Bucks. But do you want the Miami Heat? The difference with the Bucks is, or the Heat, or the Sixers, whoever it is that finishes potentially second, maybe first. Again, the difference is you're talking about it could be Brooklyn, it could be Cleveland, you know, it could be Chicago, it could be Charlotte. If you're that other team, if you're the team that's looking at 7 or 8, you're talking about the Bucks or the Heat. So there's a lot of ifs. On the other side, there's not as much here. So I don't believe there's as much gamesmanship there in 7, 8, 9 for the potential to get to a 7 or 8 as there would be here. But look, I think 1 and 2, as it is right now, 1 through 3 for that matter, I think that's what it's going to be. The only thing to keep an eye on is, does Boston keep winning? And do they get up to third in the Eastern Conference? And then if you're Philly, maybe that's what you want. You finish fourth, you play, let's say, the Bulls in the first round. And then, you know, we move on, we play the Heat in the second round. I don't think Philadelphia wants any part of the 2 seed, so I think watch what they do the next couple of weeks here in these games. A couple of other thoughts on the standings. I'll get to that as we wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
With it into the front court, Middleton bends off the defense of his man, pulls up and sticks a cold-blooded three from the right wing. Bucks go back ahead by 2.
Chris Middleton with 32 points, 7 three-pointers that he made tonight as well. And the Bucks make it 7-1 in the month of March with this victory in Sacramento over the Kings. Now one game left and a chance at a 3-1 trip if you take down the hottest team in the league, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Saturday afternoon, it's a 4 o'clock tip. meaning we'll hit the airwaves around 7 o'clock with Bucks Talk. So an early night for you to hopefully recap a 3-1 road trip and an 8-1 start to their 14-game slate here in March. Okay, the nightly check-in on the MVP tracker, courtesy of Basketball Reference. They still have Nikola Jokic with a sizable lead here. 40% probability that he takes home the MVP. Giannis is still second with about a 29% probability. And then you have Joel Embiid at a 10%. And again, those are the three guys getting most of the attention. And I've seen some people say, do you feel like Giannis isn't getting mentioned enough? I didn't until earlier tonight. A graphic made its rounds on social media on the Cavs broadcast saying, hey, here's the three guys you would point out as the MVP. Nikola Jokic, what he's done. He's been incredible. Joel Embiid and Ja Morant. No mention of Giannis, but according to Basketball Reference, the second best chance to win the MVP this season. Speaking of Giannis, believe it or not, the man that many have dubbed as he doesn't have a bag, he can't close games. Giannis now consistently a scoring machine. He trails only Kyrie Irving for points scored per night in the fourth quarter. If we take Kyrie's games played out of the mix because it's not 45 or more, Giannis is the leading scorer in fourth quarter scoring here at 8.6 per game. Saturday afternoon, the Bucks look to make it 8-1 this month as they head to Minnesota to take on Karl-Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves. Again, it is a 4 o'clock tip on Saturday. 3:30 is when we will get our pregame coverage started with Bucks Talk. And as we mentioned, 7 o'clock, right back here on these airwaves with Bucks Talk. My thanks to Max and Brandon for producing the show. Talk to you Saturday with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.